I think we should just bow our heads and commit the word to the Lord and ask for the spirit of understanding and revelation to be our portion. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will grant us understanding in our hearts and that you will go beyond the words and that you will speak to our spirits and that you will give us a new measure of life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Could we look at Luke chapter 1 verse 17, and it's not on the slide, but you could put the first slide up. In Luke 1 17, the scripture I was referring to earlier, speaking of John the Baptist, it says that he will go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to children and to disobedience and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And we surely saw the anointing that John the Baptist had, although it wasn't flamboyant in the way of signs and wonders, it surely turned the hearts of people and towards God. And the heart of the Sonship Conference was really that we were coming with a message from the Lord through Apostle John, and that we believed it was the reformation of the church. It was coming in a new spirit, the spirit of love of the Lord Jesus. And so we compared a lot how our doctrines have caused divisions and how our opinions can so often sever our friendships and our relationships, and how we need to have hearts of sons and relate to fathers and grow in maturity and spirituality. And the message was well received. Look, the church in Pakistan, be it in Karachi, Lahore or Faisalabad, three different areas, completely different. These churches and these leaders that we spoke to, and we'll introduce them now if we could have the first slide, of Mushtaq and Kenwell, these people have got a kingdom mentality. They do not think of their own church. Everything they do is for the kingdom. True, they want to see a church grow to 10,000 by 2015, but it is so that they can do more for the kingdom. These water plants, that water treatment plants that Mushtaq talks about, that's the PowerPoint that you're looking for. They cost $50,000, and they've been donated by the US mainly, but they've been donated to Mushtaq for that purpose. And he will put one of these plants in a Hindu village. Actually, we went to a Hindu village where the plant of water, the water treatment plant, had been there for 11 months. And he'd only had one contact with a person there. What he does, he employs a Christian to run the plant. The filters have got to be backwashed, and they've got to be protected as well so that people don't pinch parts and that sort of thing. But for 11 months, the plant had been there servicing water, and they only had one real good contact, which was a lady in the village. And when we went to visit the plant, we also visited the village, and something unusual happened. One man asked for prayer, and so we prayed for him, and I believe it's his brother, said, "I would like you to come and have a drink." And so we're always cautious about drinks because sensitive stomachs can give us some major problems. We, at the end of the day, we don't want to be incapacitated. So we inquired, and it was going to be lemonade, so we thought that was safe. So we went and had a drink with this man, and at the same time he said, "Would you pray for my back," I think it was, or his knees. And him asking for prayer, within a short period of time, like maybe 10 minutes, half the village had come, and they were all asking for prayer, for healing. And Mushtaq said, this is quite a remarkable result. And I can see in that it is not by the power of men although we are men and we are sent and your prayers are with us, it is really God that does the work. You know, we could have just been there, visited the village, gone home, and nothing different would have happened. But this village now is opening for more contact. And Mushtaq asked me to preach for a few words to these villagers. But because they're Hindu, he says, I don't want you to mention the name of Jesus Christ. They're not at this stage yet. I want you to talk about, you know, what do you preach about to bring the gospel? So I had to quickly pray for your prayers. I don't know what time of the day it was, but I said, Lord, whatever day it is, let there be someone praying at this time in Australia. And I got inspired to speak about the goodness of God, how God creates everything well and everything good and everything is productive and everything is a blessing and what have you, and evil came into the world and what have you, but God has sent someone to bring life again, etc. And we left it at that. We just gave a few illustrations and what have you. And that's the first step for them to start inquiring. This man you were talking about, who is it? Now, when they ask, then, as a private conversation, you can share the gospel. So that probably will happen next time Mushtaq gets there with his team. But otherwise, you wouldn't preach such in a Hindu village. So Mushtaq and Kenwell, Karachi, they've got that vision. As you see the work they do, it is mainly so that others will be blessed. His heart is, he's got a great heart. Even the pastors that have been sowing contention in this church and what have you, when we were there, he received them with open heart, with open arms, with open heart, because he could see the change in their hearts. He could see the repentance in their hearts. And we came back at the end of our trip the last couple of days to stay with him, and he said to us, the last 2 weeks have been amazing. What God has done through you guys in our church, it's just turned our church upside down. And so their worship is right up there. It was humbling to see them worship. Not half an hour, not 1 hour, not 2 hours, not 3 hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours. Thank goodness we were only sent at the last minute to preach after 4 hours of these people singing. We couldn't stand it because of our culture and we're not used to it. But these people sing with all their hearts and getting to dance and what have you. We've gone through that. So the change of heart was incredible. We found the same in, probably go to the next one and we'll have a look. This is the Kasbah of the stronghold of the Taliban, and we are right there in the training center, taking a photo from the third floor, the training center. And the church is even further into the Kasbah. It's quite an amazing place. But we felt safe because we, you know, we're not used to that sort of thing. But they were very concerned. If you look at the next slide, we were taken into this vehicle with, at the back, two people armed with guns to protect us. It was like being on a movie set. The car pulls up in the street. The two guys with dark glasses and their guns. They look around, make sure everything is safe. They open the door and say, quickly, run into this alley there. Boom. You go quickly as if you were going to avoid bullets or something. Maybe you were, I don't know. You went in, straight into the church. Same thing when you come out of the church, I put my shoes back on, ready to go, and they stopped me. They said, oh no, don't do that. I just looked around for a few minutes, nothing unusual. Okay, bring the car over, radio, bring the car over, you know, like Secret Services type of thing. It was very fascinating. Anyhow, this is where the most of the time, where the way we travel. And the next slide, this is with our arms bodyguards. One is holding his gun there, the other one is showing it on the side there. These people have said to Pastor Mushtaq, because he's had death threats, we will jump between you and the bullet. Don't worry about it. Just preach, we're there for you. That's the kind of love these people have for each other. If you look at the next one, that's the water plant, we've seen that. I wasn't sure whether we'd be able to see the video, so I duplicated there. The next one shows the difference in water. The next slide, yeah. You see how clear the water is. Of course, the bacteria in there are incredible. People die like you wouldn't believe. I think they said numbers. I forget the numbers, but no, do you remember the numbers of people who died? of mosquito bite in Lahore. 370 people died of mosquito bite through the dengue fever. Oh, sorry, 2,000 were affected and 300 or so died. Yeah, so that's serious business. Okay, next one. In that Hindu village, guess what this is? Chilies, yes. Look at the next one. They were drying their chilies in the open. Yeah. Next one. This is at one of the churches. This is our reception committee. They are standing in at the entrance, so we took a photo with them. But look at the size of their gums. They don't muck around, those guys. They're just, but you know, even the Christians have guns like this. In Lahore, they showed us one of their guns, something similar to that. And they said, every so often we go outside and we shoot in the air. Do you know why? To let the Muslim know that we have guns too. just a deterrent, you know. Right. Next one. That's Pastor Mukhtar. What's incredible about these guys, these three guys, Mushtaq in Karachi, which is a great contact, he's offered to translate into Urdu, their national language, the Spirit of Sonship book and the videotape. But it needs to be kind of rearranged because he's a professional translator, and if we speak about our church or whatever other places, it would mean nothing to people. So to keep their interest, he said we need to revamp it a bit. But he's offered to organize a team to translate it in Urdu and to be able to put it through all his leaders and any other churches. But Mukhtar in Faisalabad is a Reformed Presbyterian pastor. He's got quite an unusual method to evangelize. He goes into villages where there used to be churches that have closed down. He raises the money himself to get a pastor, and then he sends the pastor going door to door, waking up the Christians, bringing them back to church, ministering to them. And once they've got a large enough congregation, they reopen the church. And he plants churches in Christian villages. He's also the president of Light 16. Light is the light of the gospel. 16 is F-16 because he likes those planes, you know, and they do a fair bit of damage, so to them that means a lot. Light 16 Ministries, he coordinates all the churches of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, all the Pentecostal churches, AOG. The AOG president is his assistant, Mukhtar's assistant, in the Light 16's ministry. And they've got this kingdom concept. It's very strange to be welcomed in church by being told, telling the congregation, do not trust the white skins. Trust in God. So believe their words, but don't trust them just because they're white. See, some people believe that because we're white, you know, we've got an anointing, special. If we pray for them, something magical will happen. And so to break these beliefs, they come up with these statements, but very powerful. And he also coordinates the Brethren Church. And so he has this whole network of churches that relate to each other, believe it or not, in a father-son relationship, and they don't call it that. But you can sense the love between them, the respect between them. There is no competition. There is this great love. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, we were born for a time like this. You know, this church and this message is not a out-of-place message. It's right on what God is doing. These people were so happy to see the theology of the father-son relationships, to look the scriptures and to see how they correlate, and to see that they so much support what they're doing. And they're already doing it. They're just not calling it that, but they're already doing it in some way. And they said, look, Mukhtar and the next pastor that we'll see along, Pastor Dalavar, that's the Assemblies of God senior man, they both said, look, we want to relate to you. We need to relate to you. Please, I beseech you, can we relate to you guys as sons, because we need you. And they don't need us for our money. They need us because of the input that we can share with them of what God is doing in our lives, which is quite a challenge. Can you have a look at the next one? So I believe we've made some incredible impact and contact in the nation of Pakistan. Some of the traditional shoes, how would you like shoes like that? And there is something else for the ladies later. Let's have a look. Now, this is a new definition of the boudoir. Two bricks and your makeup and what have you. And if you add a bucket of water, you've got an ensuite. See, you don't need all that fancy stuff. Look, this is as simple as. This is the corner of the lounge, come bedroom, come dining room. Dining room, you simply throw a rug on the floor and you've got a table, dinner. Night time, you pull the bed over and that's bedroom. And otherwise, it becomes a lounge room. You can sit on seats around the room. It's quite phenomenal. Have a look at the next one quickly. This pastor, we preached in his church, only 30 kilometers. Actually, his wife had a baby during the meeting when we were preaching. And he was telling us that we were only 30 kilometers away from a village where 130 Christian homes had been burnt only a few months ago. The Christians escaped, but the Muslims decided we'll eradicate those Christians, so we'll just burn the village down. So the government did not punish anybody. They simply came back and reconstructed the village, and the Christians went back there. In Faisalabad, we heard of a story of a Christian community being surrounded by the Muslims, and the Mufti had decided, we will kill all the Christians today for good, women, children, and men. And that's not that long ago. And they came with petrol bombs and knives and guns, and they were waiting for everyone to come around so they could kill all the Christians. The Christians went to prayer, and the pastor led them to think of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, how God intervened, although it was completely in reverse. But the illustration, the truth prevailed, which was that God stands for his people. So they prayed for 4 hours. And after 4 hours, an incredible amount of rain started to fall. So much so that for the next 3 days and three nights, the Muslims had water up to their knees. So they gave up on destroying the village. And then the Mufti, the next prayer time on the Friday, said to the whole congregation, it looks like we'll never be able to kill all the Christians because God is on their side. Isn't that amazing? So that's what God is doing when people are facing those kind of things. Let's have a look at the next one quickly. That's Pastor James Shad from Lahore. A very different man, educated in London. Again, same thing. He came back to his country because he feels a burden to minister, runs several churches. He's also involved with the Pakistani TV cable network. So they asked us to for an interview on the network and also to preach for 15 minutes each of us. And that's going to go to 3.5 million Christians through the nation of Pakistan. Isn't that incredible? It's on the internet now on YouTube. So if you go for YouTube, what is it? PCN, is it? PCNTV.tv, you'll probably find the video. So here we are. The next one. Now this is during the preaching. This is flying mosquitoes. See the spotlight up there. That's actually all night. You had millions of mosquitoes and bugs and what have you flying against his light. It was quite a spectacle. Yeah. That's it, I think. Have a look at the next one. That's it. All right. Yeah. I thought I'd just throw some of this. Now, what was so impactful about the whole trip was, one, to see that the church was so alive. Two, that they were so into praising God and so open. After a few days, we said to one of the pastors, how is the message being received by the believers? And he said to us, there's no problem. You're talking about the Word of God. There'll never be any argument about that. So in other words, opinions, our opinions. See, we've all become experts in Bible theology after so many years in church. The preacher speaks and we have all sorts of ideas popping up, and you know, that's not quite right, you know, this and that. That, you know. What does that do? That diminishes the power of the church. That creates some form of contention in our hearts. These people are right up there with having a unity in the body, having a unity among themselves, and wanting to serve God for the kingdom's sake. And we were so blessed to see that. One of the things that Noel did most of the time in the churches in preaching that brought great result, and it really touched my heart, is the fact that he shared that to make room to receive the spirit of understanding and revelation, to make room for the blessing of God, we needed to extract some things out of our hearts. And he spoke about all the things that, you know, the works of the flesh, you know, malice, envy, gossip, you know, deceit. The book of Romans talks about whisperers. And the more he went through the list, I mean, you know, railing, surmising, which is like surmising. What would be another word for surmising, you English teachers? Surmising. Presuming, that sort of thing. Hatred, envying, anger, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, that's in 2 Corinthians, arrogance, gossip, etc. Any words that would throw a bad light on someone else. Noel ended up sharing that all these kind of things are the things that bring division in the heart and that make us guilty of sin against the body. And I tell you what, in every church where that message was preached, the whole church broke up in groups of two or three and began to confess to each other how they had been malicious, gossiping, truly repenting with each other. And actually, ourselves, Justin and Noel, I'm sure Justin forgave me because for the first half of the trip I kept calling him Jason, to the point that he accepted it. He said, fair enough, that'll be it, very graciously. But we knelt and we really repented. There was such a sense of the need to make room for the kingdom of God that we had to take a stock of ourselves, be genuine with each other, and confess to each other. Now, confessing is a very hard thing to do. I'd much rather pray, especially privately. I'd much rather fast even if I have to. But to confess to another person, that's a challenge in itself. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed, because the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in every church where we preach that message, the whole church broke into little groups of two or three and began to truly repent. It was hard to get the meeting back because they wouldn't stop. I mean, they must have had a lot of things to confess. We are very reserved. It's not that we don't have as many. It's that we are so reserved that we kind of excuse quite a lot of them. I didn't quite mean that, and all that sort of thing, and it's not really as it is, and all that sort of thing. But these people were so open, they were confessing to each other, and I sensed there came a great sense of peace upon the meeting. And afterwards, Noel often called people to now pray for each other, bless each other, and then we released the spirit of understanding and revelation. And the pastors afterwards were so thankful. Some of them said two or three days later, they said, you do not know what you have done in our church. You do not know. Well, it wasn't us. It was really God doing his work through the preaching. And we were so blessed. I realize we've taken a lot of time this morning with those videos. We've taken a lot of time with showing slides. But you know, coming back, I came back to Australia and we had quite a few hours for thinking or praying or whatever on the plane. And I thought to myself, what is it that the Church of Pakistan can do for us? Because we've gone and ministered to them, and I sense that the thing that they had done for us was to give us a greater sense of our need to be more truthful with God in our lives. I mean, it's easy to say, it's another thing to do it, but I tell you what, the impact on my heart, the fact that these negative traits that caused broken relationships affect the body so much that it tears the heart of the Lord Jesus so much that it limits the church. We can pray for power, but it's like putting it into a sieve, because some of those things are in our hearts and often we just don't deal with them. And this morning, I'll be bold, and I surely don't want to condemn anybody or challenge anybody, but I would say, like the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, to consider those things. Can I say that? I beg of you this morning, would you consider the fact that there may be a need in your heart to confess one to another that there are some things that need to be set straight? Because those things are the things that take away the power of the church. Those things are the things that are dearest to the Lord Jesus. I preached on Matthew 25, how the Lord Jesus, and I had to check myself because I thought, is it a parable? Is it the kingdom of God is like this? Or is it an event that Jesus is talking about? So I looked into Matthew 25 and it's an event, it's not a parable. But Jesus talks there to the multitude and he says to them, when the Son of Man comes with his angels to judge the world, he will separate the sheep from the goats, and people will say, you know, what have we done? And he says, well, every time you gave a cup of water to the least of these, my children, you've done it unto me. And any time you went to visit someone in prison, you have done it as if it was unto me. And every time you gave a blanket to someone, you've done it unto me. And then the thought came to me, a powerful thought. And every time you've gossiped, you've done it unto me. Every time you've said a word against a brother or a sister, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Tell you what, this is powerful conviction. Powerful conviction, friends. We received great conviction from the Spirit of God in Pakistan. We're blessed to see the church so close to God. We're blessed to see the church so kingdom conscious. Blessed to see the church so vibrant in the face of persecution. Blessed to see the church so ready to accept the message of sonship and the fatherhood of God, and the need for spiritual fathers, and the need for apostles. We were blessed. But I tell you what, we came back with an impact upon our heart that was so real. At one stage, we had to pray for, we went to a church, and we notice in the church something strange. Lots of disruptions. Lots of kids, teenagers, you know, having to be told off, sit down, or all that kind of thing. And it was disturbing. And so as we do when one is preaching, the others, we pray for the meeting and we bind spirits that would agitate people and that sort of thing. And after a while, we talked, as the three of us do when we're on our own, and we felt that there was something wrong with the pastor. We felt that there was something, there was a need to perform, a need to achieve, a need to do everything right. And the more things went wrong, the more agitated he became. And we inquired, I forget which one, it wasn't me, one of the other guys inquired, and they found out that this pastor, about 11 months earlier, I think it was, lost their little boy, who drowned at home, in the tub. And they were struggling with the guilt, with the shame, with the loss, of course. And you could see it was really binding their ministry. And so we asked for them to meet with us a couple of days later after the class. And we asked them to sit with us. And I shared a true story with them of a person who had lost a young one and could not get over their grief. A true story. And one day this lady, 7 years later, she was still grieving. It was affecting her whole life. And so she was in prayer, and the Lord took her in a vision into heaven. And he let her hold the little boy what seems to be a whole day. And then eventually, the Lord said to her, "You must go back now." She said, "Oh, another few minutes." So she stayed a bit longer. And then it was time to come back. So she saw herself go back into her body. She explained that. And from that day on, there was still the loss of the child, but there wasn't that heavy grief. There wasn't that heavy spirit. There was a joy, because the Lord said to her, "This child will not come back to you, but you will go to him." The counseling session was so heavy. The grief was so palpable that Noel and I burst into sobbing, uncontrollable sobbing, in the face of the hurt and the burden this couple was carrying. And the whole counseling session could have turned into a real wet mess. But Justin stood up and pronounced a prayer, pronounced certain things, and I tell you what, peace came into that family. This woman began to smile. I think it's the first time I saw her smile in all the time we were there. And we were so touched. You know when the scripture says you laugh with those who laugh and you cry with those who cry? Tell you what, we felt that. It was another time after a meeting where some demon-possessed person with an arm like this, and he had sort of his eyes all glazed and was not doing or responding to anything. And after the meetings, the pastors got involved themselves, two pastors in this stage. One particular, the local pastor of the church, did the best he could, but he was starting to get agitated with the fact that he was getting no response from casting this spirit out. And I saw some awful things. I saw this man slap the boy quite strongly across the face to try to bring him to life. I saw him headbutting. I thought, how can that be? It reminded me of the Inquisition, you know. To exorcise someone, let's burn them at the stake. The more they cry, the more the devil will walk out. At least their soul will be saved. What a heresy. Where is the love of God? And then, I think it's Justin, stepped in, began to talk about the love of God, began to talk about how the words of men are hurtful, but they're not true. They're often used by the enemy as lies to destroy a soul. He began to speak about the love of God, the grace of God, how much God valued this boy. And you know, after 10 or so minutes, this boy was responding. He was smiling. We asked him to say a few words. He said, "Thank you, Jesus." He said he was free. It was quite a time. We went to hit at Pakistan, and I think Pakistan hit us. And we realized that we're only tools in his hands. And it's the grace of God all along. But there's more than that. There's a work that God is doing. It is that spirit of love, like Jesus loves, that he wants to bring in our hearts. And we find it so hard to love like Jesus loves. And that is because we probably need to make room before we allow that love to come in. And this morning I want to be so bold to say, could we break into groups of two or three? Confess our sins one to another? Would it be so hard? It will be hard. It will be as hard as it was for those who in the congregation are challenged to put their hands up. And then I said to them, if you want Jesus to confess you before men and the angels, I'm going to ask you to do the hard thing and to stand and to declare Jesus your Lord. They did. It was a hard time. It's a great time of deliverance and conviction. So what I'd like to do, I'd like us to break into little groups of three and confess to each other. And then I want you to pray for each other, that God's love will fill your hearts and replace that void that's now been made. Can we do that? Let's stand up. Just break into little groups of three. See, the scripture says that this move of God will turn the hearts of sons to parents and fathers to sons. It's not talking about children, you know. It's talking about sons. It's talking about daughters. It's talking about grown-ups, maybe in your family. You've got your challenges with your own children. It's amazing what God will do when we follow his word. So this morning, let's take that time. Just get close to each other. Just share with each other. Open your heart to what God wants to do. Take time. Don't be tempted to avoid the issue and say, oh well, I'll do that privately at home. See, the reason the Bible says to confess one to another is because so often confession that is not made to one another but is made only to God is not true confession. So often it's a way to glossing things over. What a great God we serve. Please don't say, if I've offended you, because that leaves the door open for, maybe I haven't. But say, look, brother, sister, I have had a wrong attitude towards you, and I want you to forgive me. Please, would you do that? Now the Bible says, now the effectual prayer of a righteous man avails as much. Can you now begin to pray for each other, bless each other in the name of Jesus? See, the Bible says it is only after that confession that one, we are healed emotionally, physically, spiritually, but it's only after we have confessed our faults one to another that we can then stand as a righteous man and pray an effectual prayer. So pray a prayer of blessing with the person you're with. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Ask God to increase them, to abound graces upon them, to give them gifts, to make them effective for the kingdom, to give them power in heaven and on earth, to live for Jesus. Amen. Amen.